From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit Union People, Credit Union Ideas. While they've achieved the top leadership spot at their organization, credit union leaders know they must still take advantage of every opportunity and continue to learn. I'm Jennifer Plager, Managing Editor with CUNA News. I recently spoke with Doug Fagan, President CEO at Partner Colorado Credit Union in Arvada, Colorado, Jennifer Watson, CEO at Limestone Federal Credit Union in Manistique, Michigan, and Darius Wise, President CEO at Red Rocks Credit Union in Littleton, Colorado. With varying tenures as CEOs, the panel shared their insights into what it means to be a leader, their leadership styles, advice they have for a first-time CEO, and much more. Thank you all for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Why don't we start with a fairly kind of simple question with, you know, tell me a little bit about your background, how you ended up in your position that you're in now at the credit union and how long you've been a CEO. And Doug, let's start with you.
Well, we'll start with the most recent question. I've been a CEO here at Partner Colorado since July 1st of 2021. So just crossed over 2 years. I was not a, this is my first CEO position. So I've been in the industry for 36 years. And I moved here to Denver, Colorado in September 2017, to take the CFO job here at Partner Colorado. And before that, I was in Florida for a long time, since seventh grade. So for between seventh grade and 2017, without giving away, you know, ages, that kind of thing. So it's been a long time. My dad was in the Air Force, so I was kind of traveled all over. But before seventh grade, I was in Georgia, Kansas, Italy, North Dakota, Canada, New Hampshire, and then Florida, all before seventh grade. So moving around a lot, and that helped me learn how to meet people and how to talk to different kind of people. So 36 years in the industry has gotten me this far. And, it's parents have a lot to do with that success. I don't take credit for that, for a lot of it. My parents kind of taught me how to make good decisions in life. So they get a lot of credit. I'm just not afraid to do hard work. So, It's been an interesting 5-6 years here at the credit union, given what we do as from a credit union perspective. So it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. And Jennifer, what's your credit union story and how did you end up in your CEO chair?
Listen, Jennifer, you said that this was the easiest question, but I would say this is the most difficult question. So I started in the industry in 1991. I actually went and added that up today. 32 years, about 28 of those as the CEO. I started at a very small credit union as a bookkeeper, stood up their first ATM machine. Ironically, I remember unboxing the first computer that was not a dumb terminal. So that really dates me. But I started at Limestone in 2003, so I've been here as the CEO since 2003.
So Darius, what's your credit union story? How did you end up where you are today?
Thanks, Jennifer. Great question. Thanks for having us. So very quick history for me is I've spent 2 decades in the vocational ministry setting as a lead pastor. My then treasurer, about 5 to 6 years ago, my then treasurer who sat on my board of directors at the time was somewhat of a mentor to me. And we would meet monthly. We sat down for lunch as I was contemplating a career change. And I shared with him, I've got a few options on the table and potentially thinking about shifting industries. And he shared with me at that point in time, he said, Darius, I'm gonna make this hard for you. Hey, I can't teach what you teach and who you are, but I can teach you this industry. I'm retiring in about 5 to 7 years. And I'm really looking for a leader like you to step in and help that transition flow a little bit smoothly. And maybe we can present you as a CEO candidate as a succession candidate in my case, in his case. And at that point in time, I thought he had eaten bad tomatoes over lunch. And so I just basically said, no, I think you should go to market with this role. 3 months later, he circled back and here I am. Over the last 5 years, I entered the organization in 2019, a few months before the global pandemic, as its chief impact officer at the time, quickly was promoted into the EVP COO role, where I led the day-to-day operations of the institution. And that was my background on the church side of the equation. Led in at a church of about 25,000 people, and then a church of about 1,500. And so was very familiar with the operational side of the equation and leading people and obviously leading business. And so a month or two after the pandemic, we stood up, as everyone did in that case, we stood up operations remotely. Time traveled a year later. I was promoted into the interim CEO role upon his exit in the organization, him moving on. And once that happened, the board did a global search or a national search for the role to fill the role. I was not one of those candidates, but ended up being one of those candidates, ended up choosing to be one of those candidates at that time, and was chosen to be the permanent CEO as of February of this year. And so I'm probably the newest CEO of all of us on the call.
In your minds, what makes a good leader? Darius, let's start with you this time.
Yeah, I think in my opinion, Jennifer, a good leader, I'm a big believer in, you know, high EQ, high IQ. I think from a leadership standpoint, the best leaders that I've known and the best leaders that I've studied had a combination of high EQ and IQ. And so on the EQ, obviously the IQ side, there's a level of expertise and competence in a particular industry or area that they bring to the table. I think another table stake, in my opinion, is a high character leader, high character, high integrity leadership. I think, you know, then you get into some of the EQ side of the equation. I think the emotional intelligence is critically important for leaders. How empathetic are they? How people focused are they? I think some of the best leaders focus on culture. They understand the value of culture. And so those are some of the components that I think make a good leader. And I think at the end of the day, leadership is about taking a group of people somewhere. And so every leader, I think, has to have the capacity to chart a course and be followable, be the kind of leader that's worth following. And so I think those are, in my opinion, high EQ, high IQ, high character, but at the end of the day, be followable.
Jennifer, what do you think? What makes a good leader?
You know, it's super interesting. Some of the best leaders that, you know, I've encountered in my career, they don't always carry a title of CEO or supervisor or manager, but I've always been impressed with people who really work hard to, like Darius said, to really help with the culture and really understand the importance of that, and then to really drive their own development in making sure that they're working to understand the role.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, you need to be able to, communication is a big piece of leadership. You have to be able to communicate your vision and communicate it in such a way that you get your employees to want to follow you. And typically you can't say, come follow me. You have to do it, and they will follow if you do it. I think, you know, I read this some time ago, and it has kind of stuck with me, that a leader, you know, you have to be accountable. And by being accountable, that means when something doesn't go right, you take the blame. And if something does go right, you give the credit. You don't, you know, it's not about you. It's about everybody around you that makes everything work. So the culture is a big piece of that. So it kind of culture, accountability, and vision, they kind of all go hand in hand. It's not just one quality that makes a good leader. I think there's many.
So given that you've just talked about qualities that you think makes a good leader, what's your, if you had to describe your leadership style, how would you describe your leadership style?
Yeah, I think my leadership style is collaborative, team effort, or team driven. You know, I don't claim to be the smartest person in the room ever, you know, because I know better, but I am smart enough to put people that are smarter than me to support me around and put those people around me, you know, especially in areas they may not be my expertise, area of expertise. So collaborative, you know, team driven, transparent. I think those, if I had to pick a few words, those would be the words that describe my style.
I think I'll piggyback on one of the words that Doug used, and that's collaborative. I think that the best form of leadership, in my humble but honest opinion, is collaborative. I think that leaders who recognize that they're not the point, it creates a synergy and a buy-in from others that their voices are important. So that's probably number one for me in terms of my leadership style is collaboration. I think too, I lead with vision. I lead from a place of vision and strategy. Those are important for me. As I shared earlier, I think leaders, the title of leader means that you are taking someone somewhere. You're leveraging your influence to lead people in a particular direction. And so leading for me is vision-centric and it's strategy, meaning how are we getting there? And then I think fourth for me would be people-centric. I think at the end of the day, leader's about people. Leadership is about people. And it's about caring for people. One of our values at Red Rocks is relentless care for others. And so that idea of caring deeply for the people that you get the privilege, we get the privilege of leading with and alongside, is something that has always been important to me. So that human side of leading others is important.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I would definitely say that my style is collaborative. My team would probably say at times I'm a little authoritative as well, which I'm working on that. But I think the best ideas really come out of those roundtable discussions or, you know, we're a small credit union, $60 million in assets, bringing most or if not our entire team to strategic planning or to different roundtables to really determine how we can best grow and develop as a team and as an organization. Really, my favorite part of this job is working it at that level.
So as we talked about a little bit in your introductions, you've all been in the CEO chair for varying lengths of times. Darius, he's fresh. He's new, a couple months under his belt. Doug's at the 2-year mark, and Jennifer right around 20-ish or so. Looking back, what do you wish you knew before you took on that role and decided, yes, I want to be the CEO? What do you wish you knew?
Thinking back really dates me. But, you know, I think the old adage that once you get to the CEO, you know, your job is not done. That is when the real work really starts. But honestly, the credit union industry is so collaborative. And I think really looking at that network and determining how we can best work together as a movement, as opposed to trying to invent the wheel at every turn. So for me, 20 some years ago, I wish I had really taken that aspect of it and really reached out to others in my network at that point.
I love that. It's really good. I think for me, it would be, I think we hear this, you know, there's a John Maxwell-ism. John Maxwell is a leadership guy who talks a lot on the topic around the globe, but he said, if it's lonely at the top, you're taking a walk as a leader. You're not leading anyone. I think that there's a measure of truth to that, but I think there are some decisions that are just simply yours to make. And in and of itself, making high-level decisions that impact the trajectory of the organization and even more importantly, the direction of individuals' lives, that's weighty. It's a weighty decision. It's a weighty responsibility. And I think before taking the role, having been in executive leadership roles for a long time, there is a difference between carrying that burden with others and carrying that burden or that responsibility as a CEO. And that's something that I think having exposure to would have been great, but it has been a learning. And I think I would summarize that by just it being lonely at times in making certain decisions as the CEO.
And Doug, what about you?
Well, first thing I wish I knew is I wish I knew, so I wish somebody had warned me at the first week, every credit union vendor in the country was going to call me. I mean, it's a new CEO. I'm going to get in on be the first one in on this guy, and I'll try and con him into something that the prior CEO wouldn't do. I think I swear every one of them called me. That aside, yeah, I feel like more of a from a growth perspective within the credit union. I grew up in the credit union world in the finance, through the finance side, the accounting side. And as a CFO, when I got to here to Partner Colorado, I would see things that, wow, I think we should do this differently, but it's not really my role to make that change. It's out of my purview. And then when you get to the CEO position, you look at that, and I wish I would have better understood the dynamics between departments and how they interact a little bit better than I did. My whole career, I was never really on the operations side. I mean, I understood it, but I never had that responsibility of running the operational side of the business. So I wish I had taken more time as a CFO, instead of saying, we need to change this, gotten the constituents that are involved in those things and what I wanted to change, and get them involved and have a discussion just so I could better understand the dynamics between departments and between different types of parts of the organization. It would have helped my perspective going into the job, I think.
And Doug, you mentioned growth, and part of growth is things that we learn. That's how we grow. So what lessons have you all learned since sitting down in that, since becoming the CEO?
Well, I learned this much. You can't do it by yourself, right? I mean, you have to have a successful and a team around you that you can lean on. Darius is right. There's some responsibilities, some decisions are yours and yours alone to make. However, it doesn't mean you can't take input from the team around you to help you make that decision. So you have expertise in different areas of the credit union, so you need to lean on that expertise. You know, the other thing I kind of figured out kind of quickly was culture makes a huge difference. You know, I mean, I've made a real effort since I became CEO to kind of change the employee engagement, the culture of employee engagement. I did it mostly from a cost reduction perspective in terms of reducing the training costs and that kind of that spot. But I really learned a lot more. It's a lot more than that. I mean, there's a lot more to, that's just not about saving, about cost. I mean, if you take care of the folks, you create the right culture, everything else will take care of itself. So kind of a couple of things that I picked up on pretty quickly upon taking this chair.
What about you, Jennifer? I saw you nodding along when Doug was talking about culture. What have you learned?
Yeah, you know, I've worked in multiple different types of organizations. And if the one thing that I have learned is culture really is everything. You spend more time, at least I do, I'm sure we all do, more time at work and with the people that you surround yourself with or your team than we do in any other area of our lives. So, you know, for me, it's always been about creating a culture of teams that will build up the organization, build up each other. And we're really proud at Limestone to have a team that you could literally call any time of the day or night. We may not be the greatest friends, but you can definitely lean on any one of our team members. And I think that's so important to know that you trust those that you work with, but also that you can depend on them when times are good or bad.
Yes, I'll piggyback on, I'll ring the cultural bell as well. I think culture matters more than just about anything. The environment we create is critically important. I'll go up a layer deeper and kind of share some of what Doug shared. And that's understanding the criticality of the role relationship and the partnership between the board and the CEO. That relationship and how important it is and how valuable it can be when leveraged well and when maximized. We've got a fantastic board and I've got a fantastic leadership team. And so I think the other thing that I would say is one of the learnings, if you will, is hire an amazing leadership team and get out of their way. Allow them to help you lead the organization where it needs to go. Learning the importance of crystallizing the strategic plan. What's the strategic plan and who do we want to be when we grow up, if you will? I've got a phrase that I use from time to time. We don't want to be seduced by success, or we don't want to be crippled by failure. Both are going to become your reality. So you're going to have some wins and you're going to have some losses, And you don't want to over-respond to the wins, and you don't want to under-respond or over-respond to the losses. And just trying to find that happy medium of we do good work by investing heavily in the career path and career trajectory and the career growth and caring for the people that call Red Rocks their place of employment. And then those people who are heavily invested in and love where they were get to serve our members, because our members are the point. That's the whole point. So those are some of the learnings over the last several months for me.
Lots of great stuff so far. Question a little bit, not necessarily just, you know, from your time as a CEO, but looking at your career, maybe it's been in the recent past, maybe it's from more years ago or whatnot, but what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received from someone?
No, I shared mine already. It was the good leaders take the blame and give credit. That's the best piece of advice I received, I think, in my entire career.
Yeah, I think for me, I was transitioning into from industries, leaving the nonprofit sector and moving into the credit union industry. And one of my business mentors said something to me that I thought was really simple but very profound. This is a guy who brokered one of the largest business deals in American history. And he said, Darius, business is really about solving problems at the end of the day. It's what it boils down to. And the better you are at solving problems, the more successful you're going to be in business. And you're really good at solving problems, so you're going to be successful in business. I think that has rung true over the last 5 years in this industry. I mean, you think about a global pandemic. We've led through a global pandemic. All of us have. That's one of the larger problems that we faced in our country. I got to lead through a core conversion, leading through multiple leadership transitions. Business has been about solving problems and solving them at a high level, solving them efficiently and collaboratively. So that was probably the best piece of advice that I've received.
That's a great one. So for me, it was a larger credit union CEO. And, you know, he really encouraged me to look outside of our walls. Sometimes as a small credit union, we can be very tied down to the day-to-day, and encouraged me to look at other nonprofits, other economic development, whatever it might be, to help expand the way that we do business, but also to learn from those organizations of ways that we could not only improve our overall organization, but to grow our team and to grow our mission as a whole. So, you know, really looking at serving on economic development, I sit on a hospital board, some various organizations that really allow me to bring some of that knowledge back to our organization.
So there are folks out there who are about to become a first-time CEO. You've been in their shoes. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I think, you know, when you start your role as a CEO, and Darius touched on this a few minutes ago, I think you have to make sure you have a clear and honest direction from your board of directors with a very clear line of communication. We have a really active board. That can be good and bad, depending on how it's managed. I think we had 24, 25 meetings last year. We meet sometimes two times, once in person and once online and so forth. But we have a really clear line of communication and very transparent in terms of what we expect from each other. I don't communicate with necessarily all seven board members at the same time. I speak pretty much directly with the chair, and she disperses out communications. But I think that's really important that your board has to give you some clear direction on what they expect, and it's your job to go out there and execute. But it's very, very important that they're honest with what they expect from you.
Yeah, I think for me, this being, me being the newest CEO, this is very real time. I got to sit down with Jerry Agnes, and he's the CEO, president CEO of Elevations Credit Union here locally. And I asked him this question, and he shared some really good advice. And one piece of advice that stuck out with me, he said, there is 15 years ago when I became CEO, I did a listening tour and I listened a lot. I listened to our frontline team members. I listened to our member-facing staffers. I listened to our leadership team, our board. I listened a lot. And so that's probably the most important. I think piggybacking on what Doug shared, the most important piece of advice is listen, posture yourself as a learner. One of the first things I share with my leadership team is there are ways that I'm going to be leading you, and then there are ways that I'm going to be learning from you. And I want to be clear on both, but I'm going to be leading and learning from you, and listening, I think, is a key part of that. The other piece I would reiterate is the criticality of the board CEO relationship and the role clarity there, and the role clarity between the CEO and the senior leadership team. Who's doing what? What roles are critical for you as an organization to accomplish and achieve the strategy and the results that the credit union and the board has outlined for the institution? And I shared this earlier, hire the right people, you know, based on the strategy. You know, what are some of the first things that a new CEO needs to be looking at is the composition of your team. And this is, again, real time for me, the composition of your team and who you have. We talk a lot about right people, right seats. Do you have the right people in the right seats that can lead you to where you need to go? And I think the CEO's primary job is to protect culture. I think the CEO is the cultural architect. And so architecting culture, I think, is most important for that role and that job.
I think really great points by both Darius and Doug. I wish that I could remember who told me this, but when I first started as a CEO, someone said to me, wait 90 days before you implement any change, if you have that luxury. That's not always the case. And then give it another 30 days before you actually implement anything. Really lends to what you said, Darius. Really spent that first 90 to 120 learning the organization, learning the team, cultivating that relationship with the board and setting up what the expectations were. And I think I tend to move really fast. And I think that was probably the hardest 120 days in my entire life. But it really served me well in that I was able to learn who was in what seat. And then when I did need to make decisions, it wasn't as hard because I was coming from a place of understanding.
Can I add one more thing there, Jennifer? I think sure. This one's important and near and dear to me, being a proverbial outsider to the industry, newer to the industry now, is remaining true to who you are as a CEO. You know, I think it's important to realize that the board hired you for a reason. They hired you to represent the needs of the membership and to serve the community that you're in, and to lead the staff and the team that you get to lead. But they hired you with the skill sets that you have to do just that. And if they wanted to hire someone else, they would have done that. I think a lot of times, when you step into, as I've stepped into this role, whether that be outside of the industry or inside of the industry, and Doug, you may be able to attest to this, but there's this kind of, do I need to do it like the last person did it? Or do I need to do it like I think they want me to do it? There's this concept of staying true to who you are, staying teachable, and remaining and continuing to grow. And I think it's important for a first-time CEO.
Yeah, that's really important, Darius. I mean, you said, do I want to do it the way they want me to do it? You do it the way you would do it, because that's why they hired you. Especially if you hire internally, where the board got to observe you for any length of time. They hired you because they've seen what you do, and they've seen how you lead without telling people I'm leading. You know, you do it by example. I tell this story a lot with my son. He's in Florida. He just graduated college. And when I first moved here, he stayed in Florida because he was a senior in high school and whatnot. So, and he'd call me all at night, and I'd always be in the office. And this is when I was still the CFO. And he asked me, he said, why do you work so much? Because I was working, 12, 14 hours a day. And I said, Patrick, I don't work a day in my life. I love what I do. I come here and I do it with a smile. I can't wait to get here in the morning, and I hate it when I have to leave. And people see that. It's about your effort and how you lead, but you do it your way. And to Darius's point, you do it your way because that's what they hired you to do. Don't change who you are, because they hired you because of who you are. That's it.
That's some great advice for any first-time CEO, actually for any employee, I think, which kind of transitions into that last question that I have for you all. And that's, we talk a lot about young professionals and, you know, bringing them up in the industry and what kind of advice you would have for them. So what kind of advice would you have for a young professional, whether they want to be a CEO someday, or maybe they just want to top out at a CFO or a marketing director or something like that? What kind of advice do you have for those young professionals?
I have two pieces of advice. Be inquisitive. Ask a ton of questions and don't be afraid of hard work. If you do those two things, you'll get to where you want to go. Now, you got to have character. You know, Darius mentioned that earlier. You got to have the integrity piece because people will see through that. But if you work hard and you're inquisitive, you'll get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I spoke to a group of business leaders a year ago, and it was a room full of young professionals chomping at the bit for the next thing. And I said with them, I was talking about this concept of winning the day, meaning focusing on winning today. I said, if you handle your now, your next is going to take care of itself. So I'm a big believer in being really clear on where you want to go. I'm an ambitious guy. Ambition is important. So I would advise younger leaders who aspire to a role of leadership, such as CEO, to be unapologetically ambitious. But beyond being ambitious and beyond thinking so much about your next that you neglect your now, I'm not a proponent of that. I'm a proponent of, you know how you step into the next role? You crush the current role you're in. And so focus on doing a really good job in your current role. And I'm a big believer that your next is going to take care of itself. And people, I look for opportunities to promote people who are doing a really good job in their job, in their current job. And it's the same for board members or anyone who aspires to the CEO role. And this is why I say partner that with ambition. And I love Doug's phrase of curiosity. Ambition's going to make you apply for the next job. It's going to make you aware of the next job. Curiosity is going to keep your eyes open about what's happening around you. But I say really focus on your current position, do a really good job at that, and your next is going to take care of itself.
I couldn't agree more. That's one of the pieces of advice I always give, is drive your own development. Do the best that you can where you're at, lead from your current role, and that will get noticed. But also be open about where you want to go and really work to identify where there might be some gaps in skills and work to improve those and look for a mentor. That's really a great way to drive that development. But I love to see those self-starters that are really out there, like you said, Darius, crushing their current role, because that's not necessarily taught. That's something that's driven from inside.
Yeah, Jennifer, if I could, I just along the lines of what you just said, not only be cognizant of where you want to go, but be cognizant of what it's going to take to get there and your in the delta, if you will, your gaps. So what are your gaps? The reason I didn't apply for this role initially is I was really cognizant of my gaps. And to Doug's earlier point, our board over a period of time had watched me as a leader perform at a high level and outperform those gaps, to be cognizant of them, but outperform those gaps. And so be attentive to the ways that you need to develop. Anytime I sit down with one of our VPs or our SVPs or our chiefs, I'm asking those questions. Hey, how can you continue to grow and mature as a leader? Doesn't matter how long you've been in the industry. Doesn't matter how long you've been in your job. We're all growing. We're all maturing. And so I think that's the advice. These are jewels that Doug and Jennifer have shared, but those are some that are really important.
And I think you really touched on something there. No matter how long you've been in the industry, you know, we all need to be cognizant of what our skill set is and where those gaps are and how we can improve, but also, you know, where that's going to take us and what that next step is.
You all have shared some great insight and some great advice and great stories about your careers and advice for future leaders and what it takes to kind of do what you're doing. Anything we haven't touched on that you think is important to mention before we wrap up?
I think I would just say, you know, for leaders in general who are listening to this podcast, don't stop learning, don't stop growing, don't stop innovating. One of our industry needs it, and the communities that we serve need it. They need us to be growing. They need us to be evolving, whether that's from the tech side or the service side or you name it. Our organizations and our communities need us to continue to innovate and grow. One of the things that one of my board members harps on a lot is agility. And we talked about this at our last board retreat. The ability to remain agile and adapt is our organization's greatest asset. It's one of the greatest assets that we have. And so remain agile and keep learning.
And really be open to that change and what the next step is. I think it's so amazing what we can accomplish in this industry when we lead with mission and collaboration and our entire team.
And I would just say, don't get complacent as an industry or as a leader. You just can't. Complacency will just bury you.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.